Well, hey, and welcome to the podcast. My name's Josh Shearer. I'm the lead pastor at Gawler Uniting Church, and this message is a recording from one of our Sunday services. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope this message brings you hope and builds your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, let's get to the message.
The first reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 17. A church divided over leaders. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there will be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Callum. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Callum number two and George. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephen. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The second reading from today is Acts 15, verses 36 to 41. Disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in location and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Because I like to use my hands while I'm talking. Hi, how are we going? Going good? Awesome. I'm pretty excited to bring you the word tonight. So we're at the very end of a series called Matters of the Heart. So we've been looking at ways that we can use what we have to best glorify God. So first week we looked at time, and Joshy talked all about the Sabbath. And then after that we had treasure and how we use what we have to best glorify God, and talents last week as well. So tonight we're looking at the last T of the four, and we're looking at our relationships together and how we can use that to best glorify God. So we're called to do life together, aren't we? We're called to do faith together in community, much like this, but we're also called to engage with our wider community. We're called to engage with our school people, with people at uni, with work, with all sorts, our neighbours, to love them and to show God's love to them. And if you think about it, that's a whole lot of people that we are called to engage with. So chances are it's not going to be easy with every single person that we engage with. We process difficult relationships because we're going to have them. And in some seasons, we're going to have them more than others. And that's just part of life. We all have people that we engage with that we find difficult. And really, to be honest, we're difficult too sometimes, aren't we? We're human. We're not perfect. But we're called to live differently to the world. We're called to live differently. Where the world might say, you know, hold on to a grudge or hold on to this or hold on to that, we're challenged to actually do that a little bit differently. And we can see that right throughout Jesus' life, can't you? There were different people that he engaged with, and he had to challenge that. He had to challenge the norm of what the world was telling us. As our Christian faith, we are called to challenge that. It's not easy. So this is a wrestle. This is a part that we're all struggling with. So that leads into my little example of that. So Joshy and I, my wonderful husband, I just realised last night that we're at nine years in January, which is so exciting. I thought we were seven, so somehow I missed that. So we're we're at 9 years. I'm glad we were talking about it, so that's super exciting. But we often have our little tiffs along the way, not just little, we do have bigger ones. But it was funny, the other week when we were with James, I sort of noticed that James is often there when we'll have a little tiff. Actually, Angus, actually there might be a few of you that are just around when we have sort of those little heated discussions. I realised the first one was probably a couple of years ago when James was around helping Joshy build the cubby. And Josh was like, come out and check this out, give us some advice. And so we did, but we had a bit of a disagreement on how the cubby should look. I can't even remember what it was now, but had a bit of disagreement about that. Poor James was there for that. And then I'm sure there would have been numerous disagreements about Murphy, our dog. Joshy doesn't like dogs. And then last weekend I realised I'd made this, you know, the hot cob spinach loaf things where you heat them all and the cheese all melts. Yes, Wayne likes them. So I'd handed that around and the boys sort of dipped in to get the bread and then to get the spinach part on the bread. And it just, none of it was actually going on the bread. And I could see them sort of struggling. And Josh sort of looked at me and he goes, nicely, he just said, did you cut the spinach? And I said, it's baby spinach that you bought from the markets. I shouldn't have to cut baby spinach. It should just wilt. Anyway, we had this little moment, and I looked at James, and he's sort of just smiling. And that big realization that, I'm sorry, James, you seem to just cop a lot of this. And what he said made me feel a little bit better. He said, it's okay, it's never about anything important anyway. I took that as a positive, I think. I'm not sure. but, you know, we obviously have serious discussions and disagreements too. That's just a part of life. And they're not bad. Having conversations and disagreements with people is not a bad thing, okay? I think we need to encourage each other to talk and actually share our opinions and share our ideas, because I don't think society does that. I think our culture's a bit more, you stay quiet in your own little area and we don't talk about things. So that's not bad at all. But it's more how we process that and where we go from there is what I'm looking at tonight. And hopefully we'll have some practical things that we can do to take away from it. So while life for you might not be full of little spinach tiffs all the time, having moments of disagreement with people, whether they're outward conversations or whether they're just inward clashes that you think about later, we're going to come across that. Encountering people that are completely different to us, someone that's got a completely different faith or someone that's come from a completely different background or completely different upbringing, we're going to encounter that. So that can be a challenge. An example from my life, one of my best friends I did school with, so right the way through, we sort of became super close in year three and then right the way through till school finished. So best friends of 10 years is pretty exciting. And this was a relationship we both cared deeply about. We were both fully invested, loved our time together, we did life together. So right throughout school, saw each other every day. I don't know if you had someone like that. You saw them all the time and they were just super close. But then that gets a little bit hard when you finish school, because those every day seeing them, that actually doesn't happen anymore all of a sudden. And actually catching up is a bit of an effort. You have to plan those catch-ups. You have to organise those catch-ups. You have to put in the effort to see them. So after we finished year 12, I took a gap year and she also worked. But we struggled with that friendship. We struggled with that relationship because it wasn't the everyday. And amongst all of that, she was also pregnant at 18. So in that year after that, she was pregnant. We weren't seeing each other much. We both struggled. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So I really, really tried, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna give it everything I've got, and I'm gonna make one sort of last chance. I remember thinking that at the time. I'll give this shot, this one last chance. It's a friend of 10 years. I thought, I'm gonna go to her house after my shift at Baker's Delight, which is an awesome workplace. And I thought, I'm gonna, you know, buy Subway, we're gonna have lunch together, and then the afternoon to catch up for all the months we haven't caught up. So I thought, I'm gonna go and put in that effort. Actually, visiting her new house as well, because she had to move out. So pretty big for 18-year-old, pregnant and moving into her new house. So I got there and we had a lovely lunch together. And then I thought we might have a cup of tea and look around the house. But her family came around to help with the house, which is very lovely. But like doorknobs weren't quite fixed and things. So they came to help out. And so what I thought we would have in the afternoon has sort of gone a little bit. And so I hung around for a bit, but it's a bit hard to chat when you've got people sort of with screwdrivers and sort of kids running everywhere. And so I stayed for a little bit, but then I headed home. And I remember feeling, I didn't leave in a huff and I didn't make it a big thing, but I remember leaving feeling quite upset because I thought it was sort of the end of something that was amazing. So over the next year, when she had her baby, we kept in contact, but I sort of subconsciously stepped back from that relationship. I think it was probably a protection thing. You just want to step back. And I felt I didn't have the energy to invest in it anymore. And to be honest, the relationship was a bit damaged, not because anyone had done particularly anything wrong. It had struggled. And I couldn't work out quite how to fix it. So you might have a similar experience in your own life. Maybe there's been a relationship breakdown that's just faded over time. Nothing particularly happened, you just lost it, but maybe you're still a bit hurt from it because you actually loved that relationship. Or maybe you've had a relationship breakdown that was a bit quicker and maybe a bit more intense. But we've all had that. We've all been there. And we can all know what that experience of a breakdown looks like, whatever that looks like. So the scriptures that Liam read beautifully tonight, we have two very different ones. I don't know if you felt that as he was reading. We've got 1 Corinthians, which is all about a church that needed to be united. And so basically, I'll give that a really short recap. Paul was a missionary in a place called Corinthians. And he was there for a year and a half, and he made fantastic relationships, spread the gospel and all the good news. And so then when he moved on, they set up a church. That one's important. Then when he moved on, he got reports of things not going quite right. So what happened is when leaders came into that church, what the congregation did is they sort of like picked a leader to go to in the church and then sort of like stuck with that leader and sort of started speaking poorly about all the other leaders. So it's kind of like church had groups, you know, like your cliques. And it got probably a bit nasty, I would imagine. And so he got this report of this church. Like, I don't think that's like sounds like the opposite of what church should be. Like, that doesn't sound like a very nice place to be. And so Paul pretty much sort of wrote back and said, "What? Are you serious? How is this happening? Jesus is the center." He tried to speak into it and just sort of teach them to step back from it for a moment. And go, that person is not the center. I am not the center. You weren't baptized because of me. It's all because of Jesus. So he tried to teach them through their disagreement. Try and help them get some perspective. And then the other one that we looked at tonight, Acts 15, I'm not sure if you've read it before, but this is about a guy called Paul and Barnabas. And they'd also been on missionaries before, and they wanted to go back and revisit their towns that they'd been in. And Barnabas felt super strongly to take someone, like super cold, super passionate, let's take him. And then Paul not feeling that at all, like really not, completely opposite. And so I could imagine, I don't think it would have been a like half an hour discussion over a cup of tea. I think this would have been like weeks, maybe not quite like that long, but it would have been a long discussion, them trying to pray and discern who they're going to do mission with. Like that's a big call. And really when you do mission, you want to be united with who's in your team. But they just couldn't agree. And one of the translations I read, I'm not sure if it was read tonight, but it said they disagreed so sharply. And I don't think that meant that they were aggressive and yelling abuse at each other and throwing stuff and going, take him, take him. I think that would have just been, they were super passionate about where they felt, at who they felt to take. And I think they would have tried to work it through. But I don't think they could. They were pulling in such opposite directions that they were stuck. Where they were was not moving. And ultimately, we need to move forward, and they needed to move forward. And I love that in the scripture, you know, it includes this. This is a part of life. We're going to have disagreements, but let's not get stuck. Let's move forward, whatever that looks like. I don't know if you also picked up, there's a bit of a common thread in them. So while they're both very different, one's saying unite with your big group and come together and work it through. The other one is saying, if you can't, go separate. Quite opposites. But the big point, beautiful. It's up there. Thanks, Em. The big point, there was a positive outcome reached. Not that they all agreed, but they actually could move forward. They were no longer stuck where they had been. It was better for the church to unite, and it was better for Paul and Barnabas to move in their opposite directions. So the good news could be spread, because then awesome stuff happened after that. They both had been stuck, but they were able to process and move forward. So some things that we need to work on, it's really hard to discern those, don't you think? Like with relationships that you have that are broken down, it's really hard to discern where we go. Do we work through it? And maybe we've tried that a lot, maybe we need to go separate ways. So we're going to look at that a little bit. Because there's not one clear answer, and I really hope that tonight you don't go home going, Sam's just told me this, and this blanket rule should fit for every relationship. Please, it's not that at all, because relationships are very different. But hopefully, I can help you and give you something practical, because I found it practical. Okay, are we going okay? We're going okay. Awesome. I was actually thinking that if I asked that, and you said no, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't know what I'd do with my year fives. I'd be like, okay, stand up and do some star jumps, but I'm not sure that'll happen. So I'm glad you all said yes. Okay, beautiful. So a key way to improve areas of your life is called, including relationships, is called reflective practice. Beautiful. Has anyone heard of reflective practice before? Yep, got some nods. Oh. Awesome, fabulous. I was going to say, I was going to pump it really hard and say it's really used, and then I thought that wouldn't be so good if people hadn't heard of it. So it's a practice that's used in psychology, it's used in counselling. Joshy's done heaps of it in his course. I had it right throughout my teaching. Managing people, social work, anything to do with people, this is a practice that's super helpful. And that's what relationships are. It's all about people. So we can all get something out of it. It's an extremely beneficial practice, but as it says in the name, it will take practice. It's not our natural response to do to a situation, I don't think. You might be a reflector, like me, heavily reflecting things, probably analysing things too much. There won't be a day that goes by, in general, especially with teaching, where I won't sit down and go, how did that lesson go? What did I say to that kid? And how could I have done that better? Like, constantly reflecting. You might be like that. Or you might not be, and that's fine. But this goes a step further. So this stops us going around and circling in our head and goes a step further. Reflective practice, they're all up there for you, is about stepping back from the situation that you're stuck in and focusing on the facts so that you can reflect productively. Because sometimes we can get a little bit stuck. So if we actually almost take a physical step back so that we can focus on it. But this is only possible when we remove emotions tied to the situation. Because when we're emotionally invested, things are super blurry in our heads. They are for me. So it's really clear on how to move forward if we can try and take away some of that emotion. So I don't know if you think about your emotions over this week. If you're not too up and down, maybe go a month. They've probably been up and down and everything in between. I'm 18 weeks pregnant, so I feel like I only need to look over the day. And that, hey, shut the door. But no, it's true. I feel like emotions are just all over the shop, and that's a part of life too. A great example, I was actually talking to Sal about this today, is with little people. So I am primary school and middle school trained, so from years 3 to year 10, so sort of 8-year-olds to 17-year-olds. And this last semester I was offered to teach receptions, so 5-year-olds, brand new 5-year-olds that came that semester. And I took it, and I'm still smiling. Oh, look, I love them, and they make you laugh, but it's hard work just to sort of start a lesson sometimes. And I've worked out it's because everything is super emotional with a little person, and, you know, they are absolutely gorgeous, but they haven't learned how to work through things. They haven't learned how to control and talk through emotions. They just kind of go for it. And when there's 28 of them in a classroom, there's a whole lot of emotions. So last Thursday, I was really excited to teach, and I was teaching robotics. That's like as far from me as you can imagine. But I'd learnt how to do robotics with these little B-bots, and I thought, I'm going to take these in. The kids will love it. They'll be excited and ready to go. So I got in. I was enthusiastic. All the kids were sitting in a circle. It was actually going well. And then about sort of 15 minutes in, two boys came back. They'd just had a little bit of time with a teacher, because unfortunately my lesson is after lunch. And they were super duper angry. Something that had happened, and obviously the talking afterwards with the teacher hadn't helped. So I had a kid sitting down here, very angry. I tried to give the other one a bit of space at the back of the classroom. That didn't work very well, but that's okay. I had them separated. And then all of a sudden I had two girls that got really upset for some reason, I don't know, and they wanted cuddles while I was still trying to teach the rest of them and not lose their focus. All the while I became very frustrated. So there's anger, there's sadness, there's frustration, there's excitement. And I just thought after that lesson when I was reflecting, I was like, that was a whole lot of emotion in one very short amount of time. And in that 20 minutes of having that, no one learnt anything, because nothing that I was saying was going in, and it was all just, it was going in, it was just coming out. So we had to resettle. We had to stop. We had to breathe. We had to work it through. And we got there. But I just thought after that, you know, heightened levels of emotion can do that, can't they? Like there's no processing. People can talk to you, but you're not really listening. It's sort of just going in one ear. So it's not just with 5-year-olds. In terms of relationship breakdown with us, there are a whole bunch of emotions that we might feel that would come with that. Maybe for you it's bitterness. Or maybe a relationship breakdown that's had injustice from another person. I think we've got some music happening. That's all right. It was random. I like drums, so that's okay. And these aren't necessarily wrong emotions. I'm not saying that they are wrong. But sometimes having these emotions can trap us. Sometimes we get stuck and we can't process out of it. It's almost like a bit of a bubble. So I don't know if you can imagine a bubble around you and you're sort of in the middle. And when stuff happens in your life, all of those emotions just circulate in that bubble. And you can't really see out. You can't really process. Not much is happening. So unintentionally, we might be stuck in that. And you, similarly to me, might reflect in that bubble, but you might reflect poorly on yourself. So you might sort of look back and go, well, what did I not do right? And how did I get it wrong? Still stuck in that bubble. And it's still with all those emotions. So it might be guilt or shame. Or maybe you focus on your inability in a relationship. So both of these are focusing on inside the bubble, whether it's we think we're right or wrong. Reflective practice bursts the bubble. You know, what's that saying? Sorry to burst your bubble. Burst it. Burst it, because those emotions are not helpful for us to be able to process through. It's much like a judge. I was sort of talking to Josh through the week. A bit like a judge. They sort of step back. So they take the emotion out. They hear the facts from this person. Hear the facts from this person. Bit of history. And they decide. It's similar to that. We need to try and step out of that emotion if we can. It's very difficult, but if we can. So I've got three ways that you can apply this. So I could just leave it there and say, okay, off you go. Go and do it. Have fun with that. But it's really hard. So chatting to Joshy again, we've got three different approaches. And I think they're really helpful. So jot them down if you like, or I might be able to send this to you later. The first one is find someone to chat to that is not connected to the situation. So find someone to chat to that is not emotionally in it, okay? They're a trusted friend of yours, you love them, but they don't actually know the situation or the other person. That's super helpful. I actually had this with my friend the other day. She couldn't understand why someone had reacted a certain way, and she said, Sam, this is what's happened, and I actually saw it a completely different perspective. I saw it from the other, like I saw both perspectives, but I then was able to say what I thought about, maybe the other person felt like this, and she actually got it. Like it was just, she hadn't even seen it. So I think that can be really, really helpful. The second one is called POOCH. So an acronym, so problems, you look at the problem, you then look at your options of what to do with those problems, then you can look at the outcome of those options, and then you need to discern what you actually do with it. And both of the scriptures go with that so beautifully. There was a problem, they looked at the options, and then they moved through it. So that one is super important. That Paul and Barnabas, if you think about that, the problem was they couldn't agree. The outcome was they could stay stuck. The outcome, they could push through and take this person that he didn't want, or separate. And so they would have then gone through and gone, okay, outcome of that, no gospel is spread. Outcome of this, gospel might not be spread as well. Outcome of this one, if we separate, gospel is spread. So, and then they discerned it. Okay, so that's hopefully a practical one for you. And the last one is praying for someone. So if you've got someone on your heart that you might have had a relationship breakdown with, I encourage you to pray for them. This is one I would just encourage you to do anyway. Because when we come to God in prayer, don't we shift our focus? We shift our focus from us and that bubble, and we hand it to God. We can literally say, here it is, this is the situation. Hand over your emotions as well. Don't keep the frustrations, because he knows you're frustrated. You may as well tell him. And he knows you're angry. Whether it's right or wrong, talk to him about it. And it's amazing how that can change your perspective. Already you can feel lighter because you're praying to God of the universe. Like it can help and it can change. It also reminds yourself in that moment that you are valuable. You're praying to the God who loves you and who created you and who knows you and who designed you. But you're also praying to the God who loves them and designed them and created them. So when we can do that, it's very humbling in those minutes to just go, although we don't agree, you love that person as much as you love me. And if you think about Jesus on the cross, didn't he do the same? He was being put up there by people and hurled abuse at, and he prayed for those people. He stopped and he said, God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we can do that. It doesn't mean that the situation will change, but it might mean that we have a different perspective. It might mean that we have stepped back from it. We all need to process things, and reflective practice provides a space. for us to do that. So over the years, many years, this is like 9 years later, over the years and months with my friend of 10 years that I was talking about originally, I spent a long time in these strategies for reflective practice. And I learned to step back from the hurt and the sadness and reflect fully on the facts of it. And that was difficult, but I began to see. I began to see her, the person who God loved, but I also began to see her story, which I hadn't really understood. I'd heard, but I hadn't really understood it. I all of a sudden realized that she was 18 and she was pregnant and she'd just moved into her own house for the first time by herself. And for some reason, it just dawned on me that that's really big. Like, that's a big deal. And I hadn't seen it before. I hadn't meant to miss it. I just didn't get it. So I reflected deeply and began to realize that, you know, maybe I hadn't done everything perfectly. I hadn't done everything wrong, but maybe I hadn't got everything right. I hadn't fully supported her, though I thought I was giving all I could, and maybe I was at the time. But, you know, I thought about that day when her family came over, I could have stayed and helped. I think I stayed and chatted and helped for a bit, but I could have stayed for a while. This is my best friend and her house that was not functioning in certain areas. But I didn't, because I was quite upset. And that's fine, but I could have done that. I hadn't necessarily offered grace when it was needed. If I hadn't heard from her from a few months, I got upset. Rather than going, she's got a newborn, I'll call her again. And even if it's the third or fourth time, she's got a newborn. And that's it. I understand that now. Maybe this has all dawned on me since children. I completely get that. But I hadn't fully supported her. And I hadn't necessarily sought to understand what she was going through. And that can be a bit hard, can't it? For us to reflect like that. And realise that we perhaps didn't do everything quite as right as we thought. But can I please encourage you, this time of reflective practice, it's not meant to highlight our flaws and our mistakes and leave us sitting in the bubble. That is not what I am wanting you to go home and do. Please don't look back and then just feel shame and guilt and sit there. Not at all. That is not what this is about. Because on top of stepping back and removing emotion, we have Christ. And the amazing part about that is we can look through our relationships with the lens of grace, knowing that we are broken, they are too, and we're doing our best, and we can learn. A beautiful truth that I heard a couple of years ago that I found really helpful, and beautiful, there it is that we're not working for grace or salvation. We're not trying to get there, and we're not trying to reach it. But we're working from a place of grace and salvation. So we already have that. Jesus died for it. He took all of that. We are covered in grace, which is amazing because it means we can reflect and we can look back knowing that He loves us and we're going to give it a go a second time. It's not like three strikes and you're out. We have the grace and it's unconditional, unlimited, unending. So when we do this, it is from grace. That's big. Please take that home. Out of anything I tell you, learn from a place of grace. Because otherwise it's just a negative headspace and that's not helpful. So after this big journey of reflection that I went on, I re-engaged with her. I tried to understand her better and I invested in her little one. I really thought, you know what? I'm going to invest in this little one that my best friend has just had. And there was incredible healing there. I don't actually remember talking long about our little time apart because it wasn't a big thing. I think we both just apologized for not being as connected. But then we just picked up where we left off. And we just had a cup of tea and it was like nothing had happened. And this was restoration for me. We're best friends now, and she is beautiful, and her whole family is beautiful, and her husband is beautiful, and they're doing amazing things. So ideally, this is what we'd love to happen in each broken relationship, wouldn't we? restoration. But that's not always going to happen. Not every relationship is going to end like that. And that's part of life too. But can I encourage you, when we look at a situation and where we go to, we can't control what the person's going to do. We can't control the outcome. We can't control what they're going to say if we go back and talk to them. But we can control how we process it. We can control something we can take away from it. We can control what we do as reflection. So in the pooch part where it says the options and then the outcomes, you can look at them. You can't control that. So that's not our focus. It's what we can do in the meantime. We do this under the grace of God. So if you've never experienced this grace that I'm talking about, maybe it's a new thing for you. Maybe the whole church thing is a bit different. I keep mentioning this word grace. But please know that you are welcome in this place. Please know that God welcomes you into this place. And He is the Father of relationships. He made them. He loves relationships, and that's what He wants with each of us. And He's the one to look to for relationships. So I encourage us tonight to step into that place of grace. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for the 100th time, you need just a reminder of what Jesus did and the grace that you have in Him. And from there, we can look at our relationships. So let's pray together, church. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, God, that You are a Father of relationships. It's in Your name You are our Father. And You want nothing more to be in relationships with us. And because of that, you made a way. You sent Your Son Jesus, who came to restore all relationships. You sent Jesus to take the weight, our brokenness, our broken relationships, and to restore it. To take all of that negativity, to take death, and exchange it for life. And that's the offer we have tonight. That's the offer we have every day, every minute, is grace. So thank You for offering Your life, Jesus. Thank You for exchanging it for grace. And thank You that we can work from a place of grace in our relationships, in our life as we grow. Thank You for all You are. Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message, and if you want to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gawler Uniting Church. Thanks, and see you next time.